All right, the title of the talk is God's Plans Are Complex, They Involve Multitudes of People, and Are Time-Consuming. So I'll repeat it again. God's plans are complex, involve multitudes of people, and are time-consuming. Now, what is God's ultimate plan? But it's the establishment of His kingdom on earth. And the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to establish God's kingdom on earth? His presence, His ways, His laws will cover and control the earth. That's the meaning. The establishment of His kingdom began with Yeshua. Yeshua said often, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." But that was only the beginning. His followers, both Jew and Gentile, are to extend the kingdom through word and deed, which means to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to bring justice into daily activity, and to live godly lives. The kingdom, however, is not fully established until Yeshua returns and makes all of His enemies His footstool. But frankly, folks, we are so short-sighted, selfish, independent, time-absorbed, and self-inflated people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about myself as well as everyone else. Even our presentation of the gospel is contaminated by these things. Listen to ourselves as we tell one another why Yeshua came. He can change your life. He can heal you. He can give you joy or peace or love. He's got plans for you. And it's all true. Because God's plans do involve you and me. His plan is for our benefit. Yet, our betterment is simply the vehicle for extending God's plans to the whole earth. I hope you understand what I'm saying today. God is for us, not against us. But He doesn't want us to be so self-absorbed that everything is for me and not for the purpose of extending His kingdom on earth. Let me give you some examples. Do you think God cares about the violence in America's inner cities? Do you think God cares about the thousands butchered in Rwanda? How about the hundreds of thousands in Bosnia? Or maybe the one child who today will starve to death in the Sudan? Do we think that God cares about these people? God's kingdom has not extended to these places, but He wants to, and to do so, He must use me, you, and the millions of others who call on His name. But I wonder how many hear His call. I wonder how many are so absorbed with their own lives or their own congregation that the kingdom's advance is stalled. I gave four talks recently on dealing with stress, fear, anger, and depression. Being delivered from these things is important. But why? So we can continue our normal, everyday living? Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5.
Марк, глава 5.
Beginning in verse 1.
Начинаем с первого стиха.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes.
И пришли на другой берег моря в страну Гадарианскую.
When Yeshua got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him.
И когда он вышел из лодки, тотчас встретил его вышедший из гробов человек, одержимый нечистым духом.
This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain.
Он имел жилище в гробах, и никто не мог его связать даже цепями.
For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him.
Потому что многократно был он скован оковами и цепями, но разрывал цепи и разбивал оковы, и никто не был в силах укротить его.
Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones.
Всегда ночью и днем, в гробах и в гробах, кричал он и бился о камни.
When he saw Yeshua from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him.
Увидев же Иисуса издалека, прибежал и поклонился ему.
He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want to do with me, Yeshua, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me."
И, вскричав громким голосом, сказал, "Что тебе до меня, Иисус, Сын Бога Всевышнего? Заклинаю тебя Богом, не мучь меня."
For Yeshua had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit."
Ибо Иисус сказал ему, "Выйди, дух нечистый, из сего человека."
Then Yeshua asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many."
И спросил его, «Как тебя имя?» И он сказал в ответ, «Легион имя мне, потому что много нас».
And he begged Yeshua again and again not to send them out of the area.
И много просил его, чтобы не высылал их вон из страны той.
A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside.
Паслось же там при горе большое стадо свиней.
The demons begged Yeshua, «Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them».
И просили его все бесы, говоря, «Пошли нас в свиней, чтобы нам войти в них».
He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned.
И Иисус тотчас позволил им, и нечистые духи, вышедшие, вошли в свиней, и устремилось стадо с крутизны в море. И их было около 2,000, и потонули они в море.
Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened.
Пасущие же свиней побежали и рассказали в городе и в деревнях, и жители вышли посмотреть, что случилось.
When they came to Yeshua, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Приходят к Иисусу и видят, что бесновавшийся, в котором был легион, сидит и одет, и в здравом уме, и устрашились они.
Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well.
Видевшие рассказали им о том, как произошло с бесноватым, и о свиньях.
Then the people began to plead with Yeshua to leave their region.
И начали просить его, чтобы отошел от пределов их.
As Yeshua was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him.
И когда он вошел в лодку, бесновавшийся просил его, чтобы быть с ним.
Yeshua did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you."
Но Иисус не дозволил ему, а сказал, "Иди домой к своим и расскажи им, что сотворил с тобою Господь и как помиловал тебя."
So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Yeshua had done for him, and they, all the people were amazed.
И пошел и начал проповедовать в Десятиградии, что сотворил с ним Иисус, и все дивились.
Now this guy was in bad shape. He was a hopeless case. Today this guy would be locked away in a mental institution, and the keys thrown away. But no one is too hopeless for God. Yeshua sets him free. The people are amazed. But note what happens at the end of the story. The man begs Yeshua to go with him. But what does Yeshua say? Go and tell it on the mountain. Yeshua doesn't let him come. But he tells him to go and to extend the kingdom of God. We receive of God so that we can impact others. That's the purpose that God has for us. But even those who catch the vision of service, of impacting a larger world, still often miss it. Why? Because we're too narrowly focused. We're credit conscious. We're impatient. For example, we get involved in an active congregation which sends its workers overseas, which has got an excellent children's program, which has a burden for our city's problems. And thus we think we're in a great place, but we're still not where God wants us. Why? Because one person, one congregation, one city's revival, one nation serving God is not what God is doing. I want to emphasize that. All of the things that we are accustomed to in the kingdom of God is not what God is doing or wants to do. He has something far bigger for us than anything that we can imagine. And yet we limit God. His plans for you, and I'm talking about you individually as well as congregationally, listen, are international in scope, involve the transportation and migration of multitudes of people, require the coordination of numerous ministries and congregations, involve every nation on the earth. Get this, His plans for you are immense. This morning, I want you to open your eyes. Open your hearts. Begin to see how big God is, because we limit Him. Now, does this mean that every person does everything? Does it mean that everyone here is to sell off all of their property and begin a mad dash to every nation in the earth? Of course not. But what it does mean is that we must have a global perspective. That what we do in our daily lives may well impact people and events in other nations. Get this. Everything that happens to you for good, for evil, and for in between has a purpose. It's not that everything that happens to you is God's will. Of course not. God does not bring suffering or evil into the world. But He will use it for His glory. Did God cause someone to set fire to this building? Of course not. But God uses it to restore this place. Did God bring the Holocaust? Of course not. But without it, there would have been no Israel. Let's look at the scriptures. Romans 8:28. Romans 8, verse 28.
Послание к римлянам, глава 8.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose.
Притом знаем, что любящим Бога, призванным по Его изволению, все содействует ко благу.
Now, in how many things... In how many things does God work His plan? The Scripture says all things. Not some, not many, but all. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. God will use it for good and for the implementation of His plan. Sometimes hardships and difficulties befall us in order to prepare us. But God is raising an army. To be effective, an army must endure rigorous training. Now, verse 29 of the same chapter. Verse 29, same chapter. Romans 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Ибо кого Он предузнал, тем и предопределил быть подобными образу Сыну Своего, дабы Он был первородным между братьями.
God's purpose for us is to be made like Yeshua. That's it. So we endure personal hardships to cause us to rely on God and not ourselves, who as a result changes us to make us like Yeshua. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Послание, второе послание к Коринфянам, глава 1.
I want to begin in verse 3.
Стих 3.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort.
Благословен Бог и Отец Господа нашего Иисуса Христа, Отец милосердия и Бог всякого утешения.
Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
Утешающий наш ко всякой скорби нашей, чтобы и мы могли утешить находящихся во всякой скорби тем утешением, которое Бог утешает нас самих.
For just as the sufferings of Messiah flow over into our lives, so also through Messiah our comfort overflows.
Ибо по мере, как умножаются в нас страдания Мессии, умножается Мессия и утешение наше.
We experience trouble to know the comfort and compassion of God in order to pass it on to others. That's the reason. It's difficult to fully relieve one another's suffering without having experienced it yourself. But when you've been through it and God has delivered you, you can confidently and sympathetically comfort another person. The point is, in understanding God's plan for us as individuals, is that it is intimately tied to His larger plan for the world. None of our experiences are wasted. Every experience can be used of God. Let me give you some personal examples. When I was in college, I don't know if many of you know this, but I took a year of the Russian language. Did I know that 20 years ago that we would be going to Russia? And that God would be calling us to serve the Russian community? Of course not. But God knew. The Lord led me to law school. I didn't know why. And yes, my law career flourished in Congress. But I was out of God's will. So what was it for? To begin an immigration law practice here with our Russian friends, to assist in God's plans to call the Jews out of Russia. Did I know that then? Not in a million years, but God knew. Stacy and I struggled for years in our marriage. And seriously contemplated divorce. Was it God's will? No. But it gave us a heart for restoration, for struggling marriages, to encourage them and to give them hope that God can turn around even the most dismal things. As a family, we participated in numerous religious cults over 10 years, being duped by deceivers. Why? Was it God's will? No. But the Lord knew that we were to be sent here to Richmond to assist in delivering a congregation from a former deceiver. What does this show? That God works in our lives and others' lives for periods of years through numerous events to prepare us and to use us in His plan to establish His kingdom. We look at the Scriptures and say, look at those men who were used of God. But do you know that Abraham was 70 years old before he went to Israel? And he didn't give birth to Isaac until he was 100. Moses was 80 before he went to Egypt. And so we say, oh, but I'm already in my 20s, or my 30s, or my 50s, or my 70s. When is God going to use me? Hey, folks, things have only just begun. Why am I saying all of this today? Because I realized last Sunday night, just prior to the Russian study, that the calling of this congregation has only just begun to materialize. Right now. We've been here in this building, for over 3 years. And I've been leading this congregation for over 4. But God's plan is now just beginning to materialize. Last Sunday night, I came here for the study under a tremendous burden. I didn't know what it was. I went to the bookstore to pray. Suddenly, I saw the main reason for this congregation's existence: to serve our Russian Jewish brethren. That's it. In the scheme of things that God prepared thousands of years ago, the reason for our existence is to assist our Russian Jewish brethren here and in Russia. There have been 3 world events in this century that are direct fulfillment of Scripture. We can all argue over many Scripture as to whether some prediction was fulfilled or not. But over these 3 events, there's no argument. The first one was the establishment of the nation of Israel and the regathering of Jews from all over the earth. That's predicted in Scripture in numerous places. The second event was the retaking of Jerusalem by the Jewish people in 1967. That's prophesied and predicted in many places. And the third event is the Russian Exodus. Jews called out of Russia and the surrounding nations by the power of God. These were all predicted in the book of Jeremiah. And let's turn one more time to the Scripture. Jeremiah 16. We've been reading it lately here.
Jeremiah, глава 16.
Jeremiah 16, verse 14. That's where we begin. Jeremiah 16, verse 14. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt.
Посему вот приходят дни, говорит Господь, когда они будут уже говорить: «Жив Господь, который вывел сынов Израилевых из земли египетской».
But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers.
Но жив Господь, который вывел сынов Израилевых из земли северной, из всех земель, в которые изгнал их, ибо возвращу их в землю их, в которую я дал отцам их.
But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. And after that I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices of the rocks.
Вот я пошлю множество рыболовов, говорит Господь, и будут ловить их, а потом пошлю множество охотников, и они погонят их со всякой горы и со всякого холма и из ущелий скал.
God predicted these events that are occurring today 2,500 years ago. Many of you here today have been prepared for such a time as this. This is the whole reason that you're here. It's because in God's grand scheme, He had to call Jews and non-Jews together to service these people, to help implement God's plan for the end time. And you have the privilege of being called of God here for this purpose. And the preparation in many of your lives has taken many years. And it's continuing. We have heard from people who have prayed 10 to 15 years ago that a Messianic Jewish congregation move in here. Long before it was a reality. Moe Slate had a vision 7 years ago regarding people streaming in and out of this building with the walls pulsating with life. This vision is fulfilled by our Russian brothers and sisters. That's how the vision is being fulfilled. This place is not going to be filled up with a bunch of Americans. Except those who want to come and serve. But it's going to be filled by Russians who are going to impact the entire world for God. That's the reason. Many were called to this congregation for reasons that they did not understand, but it was to fulfill this task. Because note what the scripture says in verse 16 of what we just read. The scripture says, first the fishermen come to Russia and draw out the Jewish people. We and those like us are the fishermen. But then the hunters are going to come, according to the scripture. And these are evil-inspired people who will destroy our people in Russia. There's an urgency for this work to go on. And we're seeing it in front of our own eyes. And you've been called here to help fulfill this task. To fulfill this call on our congregation, we are establishing a company. I'm serious. We're establishing a business right now. It's called Russian Immigration Services. This company is going to assist in immigration matters because we've got to go to Russia and get our Jewish brethren out of the nations. Either send them to Israel or bring them here. We need to help them with jobs, language, in practical living. This call of God will have international implications. The movement of peoples across continents, from Russia to here, for training and salvation, and then many are going to go to Israel and change the nation. Those who've had visions from God about ships, boats and ships, We'll see these fulfilled in this way. This is it. We're not alone. No one owns this except God. We don't claim credit because we are simply servants of the Most High. We are simply here to serve the Lord and His plan, which is to establish His kingdom on earth. Now we're going to close and we're going to do two things today. I'll quickly tell you what those two things are, and then we're going to do them one after the other. The first thing that we're going to do is that to be able to serve God, we have to have a living relationship with the living God. And there's only one way to have such a relationship with God. And that is to know Yeshua as the Messiah, as our Savior and Lord. That's the first thing we have to do. So that all of us, whether you're an American or a German, I think Krista's here, or a Russian, we all have to come the same way through Yeshua. And so we're going to have a prayer in just a second to receive Yeshua as our Messiah. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to bless our Russian brothers and sisters here today. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them that God will bless them, because this is the call of this place. So let's pray first. Ask the Lord to come into our lives so that we know Yeshua as Messiah. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this prayer for anybody who does not know You, who has not yet received Yeshua as Messiah. Lord, I need You. I may not know You, but I want to know You. I want to know the living God. I want my life changed. I thank You for what You've done for me without me even knowing it. But Lord, the next step is for me to receive Yeshua as my Messiah. He came here as Your representative, as the Son of God, to reflect Your image, to show me that You love me. He died for my sins. And when He died, He took my sins with Him. And when He rose again, He broke the power of sin for me. He gave me everlasting life. And Lord, I now receive Him as my Savior and as my Lord to forgive me of my sins. I have blown it. I have failed You. I have missed the mark. But Yeshua did that for me. And now I receive Him in my life as my Savior. And Lord, I give You my whole life. I want to serve You and to help establish Your kingdom on earth. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, if you are a Russian from the Russian or surrounding nations, I want you to stand up right now. Just stand up, wherever you are. If you're from Russia, Pavel, I know you're back there. Okay. Others, now I want everybody in here to go around them and just to lay hands on them right now. Just surround them. And once you surround them, nothing weird's going to happen, folks. You can tell them. Now listen to me carefully, everyone. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes, and you're going to pray for the Russian people with you. We mainly want to ask that God will bless them, and He will raise them up to be used of Him here. So just begin to pray. I'll give you about 2 minutes, and then I'll call you back, and we'll close with the Aaronic benediction.